Hello and welcome to the Context Machine. This is episode 651, and I am Brian Chaffin, the first person whose name gets listed in this podcast.
And I am Jeff Gamma, and I'm totally fine being listed second. Seriously, it's no big deal.
I'm glad.
Check us all out at contextmachine.io. That's a website we have. And
who's the shows all? There. Like, who's this plural all? I mean, just like check us all out. Are we
look,
like,
if you are we don't naked? Know, I mean, I'm not going to tell you.
All right. Fair enough. I think good point. And you can use contextmachine.io to reach out to us, or you can find us on Mastodon at Context Machine. Or I'm at Geek Tales everywhere, but really mainly Threads these days.
Yeah, you're really active on Threads, and it's really cool.
Yep. And you are who again?
I am Jay Gamut,
Jay Gamut. Okay, got it.
And I'm on Threads as well. I'm not as active on Threads as you are.
True, but you're very active on Mastodon.
I am very active on Mastodon.
And yep. Threads was testing Fediverse integration, which I believe puts our content on Mastodon or something. I don't even know what it is, but I know the sentence I said prior to that sentence is accurate.
Yes, you said a sentence before that. Yeah. No, I think you are. Yes, you are correct. They are testing their Fediverse integration.
Right. So, yeah. They're testing it. And it's like, it's a half-assed test so far.
Brian.
Yeah.
First of his name.
Yeah.
We have a sponsor today.
Oh, good.
Jobs.
Good. Yeah. Who is that?
Look, if I have to tell you, just never mind.
So I actually didn't hear you say LinkedIn Jobs until I was processing it for several more seconds, and then I realized that you had already said the name before I asked who it was. And then it looks like I'm saying, oh, who is that? What about our sponsor, our noted sponsor? We're just gonna have to cut this whole thing out.
Top men. And see, I just thought that you were trying to keep the passive aggressive joke rolling.
Nope.
And I was just trying to knock out of the park what you were setting up.
Nope. I thought that you had actually not said who it was. And so, yeah, anyway.
Oh, well then, hold on. I'll make it easier for the edits.
Okay.
Oh, Brian, that was LinkedIn Jobs.
Oh, good, good. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, sure thing.
That's fantastic. Can't wait to tell you more about them later in the show.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, let's talk about Apple's latest antitrust woes.
Yeah, the DOJ is trying to give Apple the smackdown, saying that they are abusing their monopoly position.
Yep. Which is freaking bizarre. Really, it seems like the DOJ is saying you can't do the thing that your customers love about you.
Well, and that's what Apple's claiming that they're saying too. Yeah.
I hate this. And I do not think that this is my pro-Apple bias showing. Or anything like that. I don't think I'm being reactionary or reactive, which I always misuse reactionary. But I don't think that I am just knee jerking this is what's happening with this antitrust suit, because Apple has been sued in federal court by the DOJ for antitrust violations. What is happening this time around feels like the travesty and mockery of antitrust law that happened in the Obama administration for Apple with iBooks. But times 100,000 or something, I don't know.
Well, the multiplier, I will withhold assigning a multiplier to this until we see the outcome. Because this could turn into a giant nothing burger that just costs taxpayers and Apple a lot of money to process.
Yep.
It could turn into something where Apple is suddenly found to be in a position where they're forced to change how they do business.
Yeah.
In a way that ultimately would not benefit the users.
Right. And I listened to a DOJ spokesperson on NPR yesterday, and she was making the case that Apple is harming consumers. I don't see it. And not to mention the fact that Apple has about 50% of the market share.
Well, in this case, because the DOJ is defining the market in a way that suits their case, it's more like Apple has a 70% share.
I didn't see this. What is this?
Okay, so the DOJ they decided to create their own category, if you will, for the market, and instead of just looking at total smartphone market share for the United States, because that's all they can look at for a case like this, they defined it as premium smartphones.
Oh my God, are you kidding me?
No.
That I hope this gets thrown out. Oh my God, that is so freaking ridiculous.
Don't worry. I can trigger you even more before we're done. Don't worry.
Okay. Well, before you trigger me even more, you cannot bifurcate a market artificially like that for an antitrust case. I mean, and not to mention the fact that when they went after Apple for iBooks, Amazon already had 70% share of books.
Ah. Yeah. So, yeah, in the iBooks case, and for those of you that may not know what that case is, the DOJ was accusing Apple and other book publishers of colluding to do price fixing on books, on ebooks. And based on the evidence that was collected and presented, I think there was some shenanigans going on. However, the penalty that Apple was hit with was unprecedented for any antitrust case, and unprecedented. So we hadn't seen anything like that before. Still, we have not seen anything like it since. And in that case, they had a monitor that was appointed by the court that Apple had to pay as an employee, essentially, that was embedded inside Apple and had to monitor all the company's business actions related to ebooks for
and a little broader than that,
like, if I years.
Recall. Yeah, I think it was like 5 years.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, and in the meanwhile, what has happened in the ebook space in particular is that Apple share fell from 20 to 30% down to 10%. And Amazon's has risen to 80%, I think. I used to have these numbers off the top of my head. And in particular, there's been very little innovation. Apple has maintained the Books app. iBooks became Books. And Apple has maintained it, but there's been very little innovation. It seems very clear that Apple no longer cares about books, not like they did when they were doing iBooks.
Well, and in that case, there's really not much of a reason for Apple to care, because the outcome of the case handed Amazon the ebook market in a beautiful little package with a pretty bow on top. And it was so decisive that Amazon hopefully sent Apple a fruit basket or so.
Yeah, they should.
Some nice present, a couple chocolate bars, something.
And what little innovation has been done by Amazon has been what I would consider an antitrust violation. For instance, there's Kindle Unlimited now. Kindle Unlimited, you pay $10 a month and you can download as many books that are on Kindle Unlimited as you want. If you stop paying the $10 a month, you would no longer have access to those books. And then Amazon pays authors by the page read. So if you're a Kindle Unlimited subscriber and you download no books, your money is just going to be shared amongst, you know, the authors that are read by other readers. But if you do read something, the number of pages that you read will be compared to the number of pages that everyone read. And then that month's total subscription haul is divided by that percentage of your pages compared to everyone else's pages. And then the author gets paid that way.
Yeah, see, this seems to me like something that ought to fall under.
Oh, it gets better.
An antitrust investigation.
It gets better because if mm-hmm. you're on Kindle Unlimited, you cannot have your ebook anywhere else. So you tell me who is the antitrust violator.
Yeah, I'm with you. I really feel like in that space, Amazon is abusing their monopoly position.
And they were back when Apple was sued.
Right, but they can get away with it in this case because the DOJ through their actions became complicit in Amazon's monopoly actions and gave them the green light to move forward. They didn't explicitly say, Amazon, it's okay for you to do as you please in this space in any way that you please to harm competitors. But the outcome of the case allowed that to happen. And there you go. DOJ helped Amazon take an iron grip on the ebook market in the U.S.
And like I said, there's been no innovation except for with the exception of quote unquote Kindle Unlimited in the space since this happened. And Apple was innovating. They were doing their things with the iBooks author.
Right. And eventually they just dumped that whole software package and rolled some features into Pages.
Right. And the I'm talking about the when they you could make ebooks for iBooks extra interactive.
Right, and it was actually really cool what they were trying to do.
It was very cool what they were trying to do, but it was also hard to do on the publisher side or the author or slash publisher side. And that hard to do, I think, really sort of kept her from being the kind of adoptions that Apple was hoping for. And again, they, as Jeff said, they just ended up abandoning it. So, I mean, like, I am super frustrated with this. And I'm super frustrated that this attack is being made on Apple. And I worry about it eventually resulting in Apple not being able to do the things that I like for Apple to do.
Well, and Apple, their response is essentially that. It's look, if you force us to change the way we do our business, then you are also forcing us to not offer the products that our customers want.
Right. Right. You know, it's funny, too. Like some of the things that I don't have it in front of me because, you know, top men. But some of the things that the DOJ was talking about was like things that Apple does that makes Android users feel bad. I mean, like, so the crap what? I'm trying very hard to not give myself edits here. But so the absolute crap what? Oh my God.
Yeah. Yes, Apple is being accused of taking actions that make it harder to leave their platforms, that makes it harder to use competing products. And in this case, they're referencing Apple Watch and smartwatches specifically, makes it harder to use third-party devices in the Apple ecosystem, and that they are taking actions that cause users to have to pay more and makes it more difficult for developers. And then taking actions that make it make messaging between iPhone and Android or other platforms just not as good an experience. So basically it's the blue bubble versus green bubble thing.
Right. And I say, screw the green bubbles. I don't care about them. Listen, all respect to my friends, the few friends I have who are on Android. I don't care about them feeling left out. They are left out.
If Apple had to do or create their products so that they seamlessly and transparently fit in to other ecosystems, then why not just abandon iOS and adopt Android and give Google the mobile device operating system monopoly?
Right. That would be great.
That would be great.
They also basically said that Apple was doing things that they don't have to keep. I forget how they put it, but basically Apple saying some of these things that we do are to keep our users' privacy and security up to speed. They worded it much better than I did, but the DOJ was saying nuh-uh.
Oh yeah, and related to that specifically is the notion that Apple requires users to use Apple Wallet for contactless payment. And then they went on to say, because of that, Apple is collecting all of this information about the purchasing habits of their users. Therefore, Apple is actually degrading security and privacy for users because of what they're doing.
I suspect that Apple will be able to handily beat that argument with, you know, data and actual practices. Yeah. I assume that'll be dismissed, that particular charge.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Accusation, because yeah. I am so frustrated by this.
Brian, are you aware that there are 16 state attorneys general that are signed on?
Yeah, blue and red states, I might add. So this mm-hmm. it is a, you know, fairly bipartisan attack against Apple.
Yeah, it's a case where, here's another thing, Brian, APIs. Apple should not, according to the DOJ, have private APIs, and Apple is using their private APIs to limit cross-platform technologies from working. And they include messages as part of the example there too.
Yeah, I don't get this. I don't get this and I don't support it. There is one thing that I don't know how deep, I haven't figured out exactly how deep into this suit goes, but I have long been on record as saying that when Apple is competing against a competing service, especially when they're entering the market, that their 30% tax is probably unfair. And I'm saying this, and Spotify can go F itself. Spotify, I do not like Spotify, and I do not like the way they whinge. But in music streaming, it does maintain a somewhat anti-competitive stance for Apple to favor its own services. And I do feel like whenever Apple enters into a market that's subscription based, that they should probably waive their fees or greatly reduce their fees for in-app subscriptions for competing services.
That would probably go a long way towards addressing complaints. However, I think that regardless of how much money Apple takes as a cut from managing in-app subscription processing, mm-hmm. that we'd still see many of the same companies complaining.
Yeah.
Epic, for example.
Yeah, because Epic is a bunch of freaking babies.
Edit. Well done. Saved yourself from an edit. And these companies are also acting in a disingenuous way.
Yes.
Because look at Epic. They charge the developers that are on their store that same 30%.
Yes. And do not lay aside the original sin of the fact that these companies have a successful business model because of Apple. I think that is super important, right? I mean, the Apple built the concept of safe in-app purchases. In-app purchases are the thing that they are today because of Apple and because of Apple's infrastructure. And all mm-hmm. these companies that are complaining about it wouldn't have jack poop if it wasn't for Apple. And for these services that they're complaining about. And that drives me bananas. And I think that developers got a taste of reality in the EU when Apple said, oh, fine. Okay, great. We can't take 30%. Great. We're going to start charging you for all the things that we've been covering out of our 30%.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody's like, oh, no, that's not fair.
just so everyone knows, that's an exact quote with the correct tone of voice.
Yeah.
Okay, Brian, here's another thing that I would love to see the DOJ defend in court, which is their claim that cloud-based streaming apps for like video games and stuff. Mm-hmm. Apple is forcing people to have to buy higher-priced hardware to be able to play those games.
Yeah, that's nonsense. That's
no, it's that's total nonsense.
By the way, do you actually have an article open where you're able to go through and reference these things?
I do. I'm referencing an article from The Verge. I'll make sure there's a note to it in. There'll be a link to it in the show notes.
You're so much smarter than me.
Well, you know, you can get by in life on your looks, and so I have to do other things to compensate.
Well, I'm just glad that someone's actually referencing something. So That's a good. Anyway, I hope that Apple beats this. I don't know. I thought that Apple would. So here's where I'm coming from. I thought it very clear that Apple had won its suit in the iBooks case. I thought it was clear and evident that Apple had utterly destroyed the DOJ's case against the company, and the very honestly respected judge disagreed. And she smacked Apple hard. And so
she smacked Apple harder than anyone has been smacked before, essentially.
Well, you know, you said that before, and I don't really know that that's
well, that's okay. The case. So the comparison, companies
have been broken up.
That's true. So there was no breakup, but for the type of remedy that she imposed, that was the harshest imposition of that remedy. And the example that I recall people were using as comparison at the time was like when big oil companies were being hammered for monopoly actions, even they didn't have as onerous remedy as Apple had to deal with.
I don't know. I think being broken up is substantially more onerous.
No, I'm not talking about being broken up. I'm talking about like when you have for the type of remedy Apple had, which was you have a monitor that's assigned to the company, and even like the big petroleum companies, when they had monitors assigned to their companies, it wasn't as intrusive. And it wasn't for as long a period of time. There were just all these things that were done with that type of remedy that cases that were far worse, that didn't happen.
So there have been lots of examples of antitrust action that has resulted in good things for the industry, for the very companies that were affected, and for consumers. I would say that the breakup of Standard Oil is an excellent example of that. I would also say that the breakup of AT&T was a very excellent example of that. I think that many good things have come out of the breakup of AT&T.
The irony of the breakup of AT&T is that AT&T now owns all the entities that were broken off from it.
Not all of them.
I thought they had all of them again.
Maybe.
Huh. Even if they don't have all of them, they have so many of them, it's as if they were never broken up.
Yet there are substantially larger numbers of competitors, even if they do still own everything. And there were no competitors before.
That's a really good point.
So I think that the breakup of AT&T was a good antitrust case and has resulted in good. And so again, to your point, it has benefited not only AT&T, but the emergence of all the various competitors and certainly for consumers. I mean, like we don't make long distance phone calls on our cell phones. We have cell phones.
Right.
So,
do you remember the days, and I'll just get this part out right away. Do you remember the days when there would be ads on television where you could pay for a long distance company for your phone calls?
Yeah.
Because like even across town could be a long distance call.
Yeah, I lived like 7-8 miles outside of Denton. And calling into Denton, like, you know, say friends of my childhood self was a long distance call.
Yeah. Denver to Colorado Springs was a long distance call.
Sure. So anyway, I call the AT&T breakup. Great. I call the smashing of Apple's iBooks to be a very bad thing for Apple, for consumers, in particular for publishers, but not for Amazon. The company with monopoly power has consolidated its monopoly power since that action.
Yeah, yeah. The iBooks price collusion case, the real winner out of that was Amazon.
Yeah. And I am hoping that this case doesn't go in a similar direction. Hoping that Apple is able to beat this.
I think that this will be a very difficult case for the DOJ to win.
Yeah, but you and I both said the same thing, you know, about the iBooks case.
Okay, that's fair.
We talked week after week. Sometimes we might go a few weeks because we didn't do a show, but we talked, we wrote about, I wrote about quite a bit, the iBooks case, and we talked about it frequently on the show. And you know, we had Philip, who's the guy? The guy who was covering
Philip
it.
Philip Elmer DeWitt?
Yes, we had Philip, thank you.
Sorry, I needed context, but I'm with you now.
We had him on the show. He was doing some mainstream coverage of the case, and he attended many of the hearings. And we had him on, and you know, like we just all knew that Apple was gonna had knocked that out of the park.
And here we are.
So,
Assuming the DOJ wins, even a partial victory on the DOJ's part, I think will be a major loss, not just for Apple, but for consumers. And which ultimately translates to a major loss for developers.
Yep. Yeah. And I will also add that, oh my goodness, I had an important fleeting thought and it fleeted away. Oh goodness. What'd you say before that? trying to recapture that spirit.
Philip Elmer DeWitt.
No, not after that.
Amazon was the big winner.
No, after that.
If the DOJ wins, even partially in this case, it's a loss for Apple, a loss for consumers, yeah, and ultimately a loss for developers.
It was that, but I'm not thinking of it.
Oh, well, I'll make it better for you. Wow, Brian, that was an excellent point. How is that?
Well, I think there's literally only one thing I can say, and that's that when you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And if you want quality professionals, what better than LinkedIn? LinkedIn has a network of over a billion professionals these days. 2.5 million small businesses use LinkedIn for hiring, and LinkedIn Jobs is how you can do your hiring. And in this very tight labor market, very, very tight labor market, you need all of the benefits that you can get. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and they might not have the time or resources to hire. They're constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. So LinkedIn Jobs is a good thing. They also have that dashboard that I like to mention. The dashboard puts easy access to you for your applicants, your jobs, the job descriptions, your question to get, because it's everything right at your fingertips. And that makes it easier to get your jobs posted, and that makes it easier to get qualified candidates. And according to LinkedIn, they 86%, I'm reading this, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. That seems impressive.
That's pretty impressive.
So here's the thing. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/ACM. That's linkedin.com/ACM to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow. Thank you, LinkedIn Jobs. That's awesome.
We appreciate them very sponsoring us very much.
Yeah.
All right. So we have another topic here. That other topic is...
The other topic is, let's see how much higher we can get Brian's blood pressure to go after talking about the DOJ Apple monopoly case.
Listen, man, I've been arguing with trolls on Discord servers. So if you hear like, you know, let's
a big thud.
Yeah, that's probably me falling over from another heart attack or, you know, another stroke or something.
Yeah. When you say another heart attack, you haven't had any heart attacks.
I had a stroke.
Right. You had a stroke.
Right.
So the joke works better if you hear the big thud, that's me just having another stroke.
Okay. That, yeah, right. That's good. Thank you. So, yeah, okay. If you hear a thud, that is probably me collapsing in a heap from another stroke.
Oh my, I have the vapors with fear and concern over your well-being.
Right. So, Apple is apparently, supposedly, and it seems to be coming from multiple sources. Is that correct? Or is this all, are all the many reports I've seen on this coming from like
Bloomberg German? And New York Times?
Ah, okay. So two sources.
Mm-hmm. That's where most of this is coming from.
And what the sources are saying is that Apple is in talks with third-party AI firms, including like what Google,
Google for Google Gemini,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And I thought I saw something about Microsoft somewhere. OpenAI, which OpenAI Microsoft uses OpenAI too.
Right. So OpenAI, the company, ChatGPT is the product most people are familiar with.
Yeah.
Since you're mostly pedantic, I thought that I would just toss that in.
Excellent. I was like all in on your notes. And then also Gross for the Chinese market, Baidu.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, I can I take a second out to say that I feel like Apple's time in China is numbered. Apple's days are numbered. I feel like China wants under Xi Jinping, Apple, that China wants Apple and all other Western countries gone.
I hope you're wrong.
And I'm talking about from selling stuff. I'm not talking about manufacturing stuff. And to that right. end, I feel like Apple has made a tremendous mistake in allowing so much of its supply chain to be based in China. That's another point. Apple is slowly... But
they are working on that.
They appear to be working on that. And yeah. So anyway, that's just a momentary timeout to further inflame China against me.
Yeah, still waiting to hear that thud.
I want to go to China, but there is no way that I would go to. I would so love to go spend a month in China, and I am so terrified of. I mean, like, not that I think that I'm important, right? I've been crap talking China for years for various things, and it's not that I think I'm important because I'm not. But I do. I'm sure there's a file on me in China. I also
there's
destroyed
probably a file.
I destroyed China in my
go
book.
Ahead. Literally.
Yeah. I mean,
destroyed China.
I did that not because of any anti-Chinese bias, but because I didn't feel qualified to write a novel set in a future that would probably be dominated by China and the US. And so I destroyed China because I didn't feel qualified to write about these things.
That's very clever. What a great way to avoid having to deal with that in your book. We'll just make it go away.
Yeah, well, I feel like I came up with a pretty...
You came up with a great way of doing it.
Yeah. But anyway, the point is, I'm sure there's a file on me somewhere in China.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a file on you.
Oh, well, yeah, well, sure.
But it's just those really cool photos. I mean, nothing, nothing. Hey, look at this story over here, Brian.
Okay, let's get back to that story. So Apple is in talks. So theoretically, these talks are for essentially for Apple to put a sort of vocal chat interface to replace the interface that Apple currently uses for invoking Siri. That's the impression I'm getting.
I have a hypothesis on what's actually happening here.
Okay.
And my hypothesis is that what Apple is doing is looking to multiple companies to license data models. And then what you can do at that point is then take what you're licensing and bring it in-house and use these models in your AI generative system. And so it's actually contained within your system and not a thing where, say, you say, hey, S lady, tell me how many different types of flowers I can buy in Colorado in May. Wow, that was totally rando. Anyhow, so instead of having all of that funneled out to a company like OpenAI to allow them to process the request and then send back the query results to you, it's still being handled within Apple's silo because it's just data models that Apple's licensing and not the actual AI service from another company.
Okay, but my problem there is that those models would have therefore been trained on material that wasn't licensed.
Yeah, and that's where
I've got a problem with that.
Well, I don't have any stories handy off the top of my head for that, but there have been stories about Apple negotiating to pay companies for the data that they will be using in their generative systems. So what I'm assuming Apple would be doing would be taking this content, these models from these other companies that make it, and then paying the various sources, however they figure that out, for the use of that content.
I don't see that.
Well, I'm trying to think positive here, but I mean, the point you're making is actually really important. How much of the data that's going to be used to allow us to have a more robust voice interface system with the S lady, how much of that is coming from what you and I see as tainted data because it's been scraped and used without permission?
Yeah, and you know, Reddit's recent decision to license things on Reddit for OpenAI.
Hey, well, you know, if you're going to start selling stock in your company, you have to find a way to take advantage of your users so that you can monetize.
Right, and that was my point, is that the users aren't going to be benefiting from that. And you know, I am tense about, in particular, content creators, songwriters, movie makers, video makers, writers, and you know, various content makers like that who have their stuff scraped and you know, so that someone can write a book in the style of Brian Chaffin. I realize that no one's probably going to do that, but. You know, write a book in the style of George R. R. Martin. That is a thing that is probably already happening.
It's probably available as an ebook on the Kindle store right now.
Yep. And I have a huge problem with that. I have a huge problem with that.
So do I. If my feeling is, if your business model is predicated on taking other people's content without compensation so that you can create the product where you are getting paid, then your business model is flawed.
Yeah, your business model sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know. Here's another idea for you. Mm-hmm. What if Apple is actually talking to these other companies to really sort of find out where they are?
Oh, sure. Like doing recon.
Yeah. Because I find it I feel like Apple has access to enough data from the now currently opt-in ability to send your stuff to Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So basically, I believe it is all opt in now, right? It was at first opt out and then people complained and then it became opt in.
Yes. That's how I'm remembering it too.
So when Apple is asking you if, basically they can use your data to train Siri and you have to, confirm or cancel. And a lot of people have, in fact, opted into that and said, fine, do it, because in part they trust Apple when Apple says we're not going to do anything that's going to be tied to you with this data.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. and you know, I feel like Apple has access to more than enough data to actually not have to use these third-party services.
And they may very well. All right, Brian, I have a problem with the way this is all being presented by various media outlets.
Okay.
Because part of what they're saying is, well, Apple has fallen so far behind in the AI space.
Yeah.
So they're having to do things to catch up. And I disagree with that. I don't think Apple has fallen behind. I think in many ways, Apple has been a leader in this space. It's just that they haven't been doing the creepy LLM thing that like OpenAI has been doing and what Google is doing. Their AI efforts have been very under the hood, and it's things that we're using on a daily basis. Like when you take a photo with your iPhone, that's Apple's AI stuff making that photo come together in a way that works for you.
Yeah, Apple's has heretofore called this machine learning, because that's what it is.
Right, which is accurate, but it falls under the same umbrella. And so Apple has been doing all kinds of things where, you know, it's kind of crazy how after time your iPhone kind of anticipates things you're doing and makes suggestions. And that's all part of that machine learning AI thing. So Apple has been very active in this space. Apple has been developing open source AI tools that other companies, including Google, use. Apple is not behind. What they don't have is the flashy...
the generative AI.
They don't have the flashy, inaccurate generative AI thing going on.
Yeah. And they're essentially light years ahead, maybe infinitely ahead of everybody when it comes to doing this stuff on your device.
Mm-hmm.
No one else can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Apple is... based on what I've seen, Apple is currently the master in endpoint AI.
Yeah. So I don't, it is hard for me to, for one thing, I am sure there is something to these reports. Apple has probably in some way talked to these companies as, not necessarily as described, but as, you know, as is reported that they have done, that they have, mm-hmm. they have talked to these companies. I'm sure that that's correct, but it is hard for me to imagine Apple needing to license anything from these companies. That doesn't make sense to me, but it's possible that, you know, maybe I've just inflated Apple's abilities in my head. That's certainly possible.
Sure, it's possible. I think it's going to be interesting come June, presumably, when Apple hosts their Worldwide Developer Conference. I expect this is the year we're going to get some really big announcements about the use of machine language and artificial intelligence that goes way beyond what Apple has been telling us about previously.
Yes.
And from that, we may be able to glean more about who they've potentially been making partnerships with.
Fair enough. And that's pretty close now. It's only a couple months away. A couple months, right, and a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So, yay.
Yeah.
All right. I think, are we done? I think it's a good time to break.
I agree. And you made it through the whole show without dropping. So, well done. No strokes for Brian this week, people.
Yay! I'm a winner. Let's see here. So, first of all, I'm going to have to do this. Yep, I did it. And then I'm going to say, that's this week's Apple. No, that's this week's context machine. You know, my guideline, you don't ever see these guidelines, but they don't have the word Apple in them. I have updated that.
No, they do not.
And yet I still
they do not
constantly say it. That's this week's context machine. If you have anything to comment on, add or question, you can write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. And our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for this show. And except for the thing that Jeff's going to tell you in a second, that's all for this week.
Hey, thank you, LinkedIn Jobs, for being our sponsor this week.
Yep, you can post your job for free at linkedin.com/ACM. And that's it. Thanks, everybody.